Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Thursday. Hope everybody's having a good day on this sunny, beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. We talk with the GM, Floyd Reese. He can be heard every afternoon from 2 to 6 right here on these airwaves, Monday through Friday. We talked to him this time on Thursdays. Floyd, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys this morning?
Doing fantastic.
Good.
Floyd, every week is brought to you by Sealmaster, keeping your parking lots looking brand new. I'm not going to ask you about uniforms, Floyd. We're going to actually talk about the Titans and the Steelers, so we'll just avoid that. But yeah. I do want to go back quickly on Sunday and just get your thoughts, because I know Romeo Crennel has been around forever. I know, you know, your paths have crossed a ton, I'm sure, over the years. What did you make? I know he's the interim. He's in a weird spot. They're just coming off their first win of the season. But the way that game played out at the end, what were your thoughts?
You know, I thought just what you said. You know, I think those decisions are easier when you're not looking for the job next year. You know, if it would have been a coach that would have said, okay, if I can find a way to win this game and look really smart, you know, maybe it will help me next year. Romeo's not in that position. You know, he's kind of like, hey, take a shot. You know, what have I got to lose? It's not going to make any difference to my career one way or the other. So he took a shot. You know, he had a chance to close it out. And I wouldn't have done it, but, you know, he had a chance to close it out. He figured, what the heck, we'll go for it. You know, I feel good about our offense, the way they're moving the ball right now, and I think we can pick this up. And truth is, if it wasn't for the giant paw of Big Jeff, you know, it probably would have worked.
I felt like Rich Gannon. I felt like if I was in the booth during that, that's what I would have sounded like. So you felt the same way, like, no, you would have kicked the extra point?
Yeah, yeah. I would have kicked it and, you know, made them, because they were still going to have to score and get the 2 point, you know. You know, I think the rate of 2 points are roughly 50% or 48% or something like that. So, you know, the odds were maybe just a tiny bit in your favor. But, you know, I think they had to feel like, hey, this is our shot. We'll go for it and see what happens.
You're the perfect guy to ask, because Steve McNair and Eddie George were humming along at a high clip, you know, in the same season. And so you're having success out of your star running back. You're having success out of your star quarterback. Both are vitally important to your success, and your team is having success. But when you have a sports talk show and you have to talk for 4 hours a day, as you experience every day, you know, you take deeper dives. You constantly bring up all this stuff. Well, you're not talking about it in the building, but we're talking about it in forums like this. So we've been talking about Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry. Just in your opinion, which one is – we get it, they're both vitally important, but if you had to pick one of team MVP, who would you pick? And why?
Well, I think probably now, because of the effect he has on the team, I would probably go with Derek. If you made me pick between the two, I would take Ryan. Pick meaning, you know, okay, this guy's going to be on your roster in the next 3 or 4 years because he's a quarterback. And we all know you don't have much of a chance without a quarterback. The problem we have right now, and teams are, you know, there are other teams that are like us. If we don't have Derek, we probably don't have much of a chance, even with a quarterback. So, you know, Derek has, I mean, what he did this Sunday, I mean, he literally, and you just don't see this very often from a running back, you know, where they can just take a team and put them on their back and carry him, you know, the 94-yarder, and then turn around with a swing pass for 53 and doing things like that. I mean, that's just not common. And I think what he did was spectacular.
Yeah. I said the same thing. I was just curious. And I think Willie said Derrick Henry as well. Look, I know we're splitting hairs. I was just curious where you cited on that. We also had Brad Hopkins on this week to kind of talk about now that Taylor Lewan is out for the season. And, you know, what a guy, when you know, you had Bruce Matthews, and you could, you know, move him around everywhere. And, you know, they may have to eventually start shuffling things around. I mean, there's still 11 games to go, so you know, long ways to go in the season. And so you don't know, whatever they start with this week doesn't mean that's how it's going to end.
Right.
How would you approach trying to give Ryan Tannehill and your running game, you know, the right protection, the right holes? You know, where would you start if it were you? And what does it mean to lose a guy like Taylor Lewan?
Yeah, I mean, losing Taylor is gigantic. You know, you can't replace an all-pro, Pro Bowl caliber left tackle. They just aren't out there. So whoever you bring in is going to be a drop-off. I mean, I think we know that. I think how, and this is where the coaches are really, really going to fit in this week and for the rest of the year from that standpoint, how you protect against whoever it is you're playing is going to be critical. And I think, for example, this week, you know, do you make a choice? That is, do you go into each play saying, okay, we're going to chip on the left side this time and hopefully he's the one that's coming? Well, if you're wrong, you know, it might be a sack. And you say, okay, then maybe we'll chip in on the right side and take a shot. And there are going to be plays where the guy is just going to have to block them. I mean, it's that simple. But I think they're going to have to put together something where maybe they slide the protection one way or the other and stick a tight end or a back on the other side. So you're constantly over-protecting rather than under-protecting. You know, you're going to block four or five with six, and maybe more if you need them, but with six, and I think give yourself a chance. Give everybody an opportunity. With the pass rushers this week, I mean, these guys can destroy a game. They can wreck the game, and you have to prevent that from happening. So you've got to go in there with a clear game plan that says, you know, if in fact we are unable to block with our left tackle one-on-one against whoever's going to be out there, then we're going to have to help him, and that's just going to have to be part of the game plan. We're going to be short a guy in every one of the pass patterns, but, you know, if you don't get the ball off, it doesn't matter what kind of pattern you run. So I think they've got to start there and make sure that's solid.
Just to illustrate what you're saying, Floyd, the Steelers have 42 tackles for loss, which is the most by a team through five games in the NFL in the last 12 years. So they have really been dynamic here. I want to ask you one on the other side of the ball. It looks like Ben Roethlisberger, out of necessity, you know, his age and he had the terrible injury to his elbow, has almost reinvented himself. We have this vision of him. I'll always have the vision of him holding the ball for the extra second or two, bouncing off of people, willing to take the hit. But it looks like they've really emphasized getting the ball out quick and hitting those short passes and spreading the ball around.
I think, you know, at a point in time in his career, if they would have suggested this, he might have been offended. At this point in time in his career and after the injury from last year, when they talk about, okay, we're going to get the ball off, we're going to be okay with a check down, we're going to be okay with a tight end hook, we're going to be okay with a quick out, those kinds of things, he probably appreciates it. You know, he's probably pretty tired of getting beat up. And I think that, you know, they're using him differently. If you look at, for example, his numbers, I don't think you're seeing nearly as many long down the field passes as they've kind of lived on in the past. But they are more, you know, he's going in there and he's more our style. He's going to go in, he's going to throw the ball 24, 25 times, try to complete 17 or 18, get a couple of touches, let the running game do its part, and then let that defense that we've talked about, which is just awesome, go ahead and turn the ball over once or twice. We're going to be in great shape.
How would you try to evaluate these next few days with Adoree Jackson? Maybe in a perfect world, you sit there and go, you could use a few more weeks of practice, you know, maybe another week of practice just to stay safe, but you're playing a team that, as we just said, spreads the ball around, and he may be, even if he's not in perfect shape, a better option than the replacement that would be in there. So how would you look at Jackson the next couple of days to determine if he's ready to dress out on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to keep an eye on him in practice. You know, really get a good picture of where he is after yesterday's practice. And I don't know what he's done today. But after yesterday's practice, they're going to see, you know, is there any swelling in the injury? Is it really, really sore? You know, all of those kinds of things. Because as much as he would really help this defense this week going against, you know, another 5-0 team, and as big as it would be to win this game, you know, from an emotional confidence standpoint, you're much better off having him for the rest of the year. And that's kind of the way you would have to look at it, I think. If he can go in and play 25 plays and not re-injure himself and give you what you need out of him, then you're probably going to be thrilled. You know, if he can't do that, then maybe you're smart saying, hey, you know, you're close. You're 85%. But we're going to give you another week, get that other 15% back, and then next week and for the rest of the year we'll be 100%.
How does the trade deadline being pushed back a couple weeks affect things in your mind?
You know, I think it makes it a little bit more like some of the other sports in that, you know, the trade deadline prior was always so early that, you know, teams, I always say the good teams don't know they're good and the bad teams don't know they're bad. And so when you talk about trading, you're saying, well, are we going to trade to make ourselves good because we think we're really good? Or, you know, are we going to start dumping people when we think there's a chance we're going to win 10 games? And I think they go through that by moving it back. Some of these teams, like, you know, I saw where Minnesota traded Ndakwe to Baltimore. Well, you've got a team there that's 1-5 or whatever they are, and they're saying, hey, this just isn't working out. If we can recapture some of those draft picks that we've had, maybe that's what we need to do. And they're saying, okay, that's fine. We're just going to dump it and go from there. So I think it's opened it up a lot more. I think you're going to see those that are on the cusp either way maybe willing to buy or sell to hopefully get themselves over the hump.
We're talking to the GM, Floyd Reese, 2-6 weekdays on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So along those lines of the trade deadline, if you were the GM of the Titans right now and you're evaluating, because you just made some great points of that, you with it being
somebody
pushed
wants to
back,
make a trade. Somebody
yeah,
wants to make a
calling
trade.
Right now to make a trade. You made some great points with it being pushed back. Maybe you do make more of a move. What position group would you be looking for right now if you're John Robinson?
Well, normally, almost always, I would say pass rusher. You know, somebody can knock the quarterback down. We've got to get that right at some point in time. The other side of that, of course, now is you don't know where you are with the corners. And you know, is, in fact, Adoree ready to go a little bit this week and be okay the rest of the year? Or is it going to take another 3 weeks? Because if it's going to take another 3 weeks, you might be looking out there for some kind of a speed cover corner. You know, we don't need we need speed. You know, that's the thing that's killing us. And I think against a team like Pittsburgh this week with their receivers, I think that's where you notice it more. You know, where you – and we saw it in the last couple of games. The defensive guys get frustrated, players and coaches. And they feel like, you know, we can't quite get there with a pass rush. We can't quite get them covered. And so how are we going to remedy this? Well, we're going to blitz. That'll do it. And then you blitz, and you see what happened to Butler when he gave up the long touchdown. You know, and you say, well, you know, we could have done that and maybe gotten there, but instead we gave up a touchdown. Had we gone the other way, maybe it would have taken them 5 plays to get down there. And somewhere along that 5 plays, they drop a pass or tip a pass or we get a sack, get a strip sack and end up with a ball. So, you know, all those things are running through your mind, but you get so frustrated with it. You know, you get so, I'm tired of this. I don't care. We're going to blitz. And then the worst thing happens, and then you go, man, oh, man, I wish I hadn't have done that.
What did you think of how Arthur used Jeremy McNichols, the other running back, last week? I mean, we saw what Derek did. He really broke out, but how he worked in McNichols to a couple of different packages.
Yeah, I thought it went well. You know, we were running the ball well anyway. And they were struggling to stop the run. And, you know, he went in there and I can't remember what he carried the ball 5, 6, 7 times, gained 50 yards. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So I think, you know, I think they used him wisely. I think, you know, one of the things Arthur does is he's got a great feel for the right play at the right time with the right player. And somehow he seems to scheme those things up, get him on the field, you know, in maybe a real important time or a real important play, and it works. And that, believe me, that is difficult to do. You know, it sounds good when at the, you know, on the Tuesday night meeting at 2 o'clock when you say, well, okay, we'll just wait for this situation and then we'll run so-and-so in the game and then we'll call this play and sure enough, it'll be a touchdown. Well, like I said, at 2 o'clock, that sounds good. Now find that time during the game where that actually comes to fruition, and it doesn't happen very often.
But before we let you go, and I'm not asking about this guy for the Titans because I think they're good at this position, but you've been hesitant before when talking about Antonio Brown of bringing him in. There's rumors that when his suspension is up after week 8 that Seattle and other teams could be looking at him. So as a GM, what would he have to show you to change your mind in order for you to bring him in?
Oh, I don't know if he could, Chaser. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm a big one on what you've done in the past. And I think if you look at his history, I mean, you just shake your head. You know, you say, how can anybody, what, you know, one of the old, what were you thinking kind of a thing. Well, obviously he wasn't thinking much. And you know, aside from the fact that I'm not sure he would fit in here, maybe he would. But I think, you know, in my mind right now, he's one of those guys you're always going to be waiting for the other shoe to drop. You know, there's going to be another something or other come along, and it's going to be a problem for you.
There you go. He is the GM, Floyd Reese. Hear him today at 2 o'clock alongside Jared Stillman. Floyd, appreciate it as always. We'll talk next week.
You bet, guys. Thanks.
The GM, Floyd Reese. When we come back, Willie's got some numbers. Willie likes the numbers. He's got them for the Steelers. We'll talk about that when we return. Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Floyd Reese every Thursday at 11 o'clock. Silly underdog picks coming up at high noon. And then we'll head to Pittsburgh at 1 o'clock and learn a little bit more about the Steelers, what challenges are facing them when it comes to injuries and everything else, to everything they've seen to this point. And we'll talk about that right now. Let's start. By the way, Mike Vrabel has spoken this morning. We'll have that in just a bit about what the head coach had to say about this matchup and some guys on the field. Willie, you have some numbers. I guess we can start there because I want to go a direction with a player or two. One we started talking about yesterday. The other one we haven't really said much about. It was talked about a smidge on Monday, but I want to revisit. So let's start with the numbers.
Well, I mentioned one of them with Floyd. Tackles for losses, 42 tackles for losses for Pittsburgh, most by a team through 5 games in the league in 12 years. So this is a really dynamic team. This is going to put Sembrio to the test. It's going to put the running game to the test. We knew that going in. But let me give you a couple on the offensive side. And one other one to just duck in here. This is only the second time ever that the Steelers have started 5-0 for a team
that's
had as much success as they have. They've only done it one other time, and it was in 1978.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Second time ever.
And here's another one that's been thrown around a lot, but it puts the game in context as a featured game. It's what, the 6th time in NFL history that two teams 5-0 or higher have gone head-to-head? You know, two undefeated teams this late in the season. Not that it's really late in the season, but it shows you how hard it is to have teams that are 5-0 or more face each other. But here are the numbers. Ben Roethlisberger, as we said, and Teron Davenport has a great breakdown of this in his article. This is where I saw this. And it talks about Ben Roethlisberger sort of reinventing himself, getting the ball out quicker. He is getting it out quicker than he's ever gotten it out before. And some of it's out of necessity. Maybe he doesn't quite have the great arm strength he had before. He's 38, can't take the pounding he used to take. They say he can still get the ball down the field, but it's a different philosophy that they're using offensively. And they have five players between 24 and 28 targets. Now, that's what Mike Vrabel referenced, but think about that. Nobody has more than 28. So it's not like Antonio Brown or somebody back in those days where they're going to feed the number one guy and everybody else gets their turn. They are really spreading it around. But five guys with at least 24, including Ebron, the tight end. Then there's four wide receivers. Connor, the wide receiver, or the running back, only has about 15 or 17 targets. So he's got a lot of guys that you have to cover, which makes me wonder about Adoree Jackson. What did you guys think of Floyd's answer on that? He gave a great GM answer, right? Not only do you have to look at this week, but also you have to look at the rest of the season. And what does it mean if you play him? What does it mean if you don't play him?
In reading the quotes from Vrabel, I know we're going to hear him, I kind of feel like Vrabel felt the same way. That it's like, hey, one day you look good, but you know, you got to make sure long-term health is taken care of too. So, and that's kind of how I went about it. You know, when I brought up yesterday and you guys were more, if he's ready, play him. And I don't necessarily disagree, but if he's not 100% and there's that little bit of thought in the back of your mind of maybe we shouldn't push it yet, then I wouldn't, because he's going to be a big part of your defense to help you get through a playoff run. So I think you kind of have to, yes, this is a very important game and it's one that's probably going to affect some things later on, but you want to have him available when you get to the playoffs. So you kind of have to weigh both sides.
He brought up another scenario too that I don't know if we did cover this yesterday, but he gave it the Jadeveon Clowney. Do you put a certain number of plays in there and say, okay, he's going to be my fifth back. He's going to play this role when they go five wide or four wide receiver. That's when I'll use him, and that way I can keep it to 20 or 25 plays.
What's interesting about this Pittsburgh team is they're really like the complete package, right? I mean, I think Baltimore is too, even though Baltimore has had the hiccup. But when you think about a team that can get it done offensively, which they've been able to do, so they can score points, and a team that can get it done defensively, because Pittsburgh and Baltimore are the two best defenses in the league, they present real problems, right? I mean, because, you know, Kansas City, you could say, well, they've got this offense that you can't stop. Their defense is good. It's certainly not bad. But it's not this, you know, murderer's row defense where you can't score on the Chiefs. Same with the Titans. They've had their issues on defense. They can't stop anybody. But good news is they score at will. So that's the problem. This is the ultimate test for this Titans offense, right, that we've been talking about all season. Mm-hmm. That's been so good. Can they really keep scoring at the clip that they've been doing in these first five games against this Pittsburgh D?
I don't think so. And then that flips the other side of it, is can the defense pick up the slack and give them a chance to where they don't have to score 30? All right, so here's the question to you guys. Let's see how many of the four you can get. Ed Bouchette from The Athletic, who's covered the Steelers forever, had this one. Chase Claypool, who burst on the scene last week. I'll be honest, I didn't know much about him. He had a huge week. He now has six touchdowns in his first five games in the league. Four other receivers have done it in the history of the game. One of them did it for the Steelers. Can you name any of the four?
Say that one more time. Give me just a second to
let... Four wide receivers in NFL history have six touchdowns in the first five games in the league, besides Chase Claypool, who has now done it. He's got two rushing touchdowns and four receiving touchdowns.
So one of them is a former Steeler.
One of them is a Steeler. One of them did it as a Steeler. And then there's three others that have done it.
I'll say AB, Antonio Brown.
I'd say that's probably a good guess.
It is not.
Huh.
And that's what I would have thought. It's not. And you'll never get the guy.
You'll never get the guy for the Steelers?
Never get the guy for the Steelers.
Well, I mean, is it 70s? No, they didn't throw that much. No way. So it's not Hines Ward. You wouldn't say that about him. You'll never get it.
You'll never get it. You'll have an easier time getting maybe one or two of the other guys. One guy is a University of Tennessee graduate.
One's a University of Tennessee.
This is not the Pittsburgh guy, or this is just one of the guys of the four?
I'm giving you a clue about another one of the four. One did it as a former – one of them did it as a Steeler.
Carl Pickens?
Not Carl Pickens. Good guess.
I don't know why this name randomly came to mind, but Robert Meacham?
Nope. It's an extremely rare feat. When I tell you the names, you won't be surprised by a couple, and you'll be very surprised by a couple.
Is Dez one?
No, but you're on – the last name is the same.
Antonio Bryant?
Nope. Keep going. A guy that we had a lot of fun with at the expense of, who at one point was trade bait, and Darren, Donick, and Chase had a massive debate over whether the Titans should be interested in this young man. And now you've forgotten him altogether.
Yeah.
How about Martavis Bryant?
Yeah, I was about to say.
Martavis is the Steeler?
He's the Steeler. 2014, he had six touchdowns in his first five games.
He's out Martavis of the league, Bryant. Isn't he?
Yeah, I think. When's the last time you ever heard of him?
Yeah, I think he probably is.
I think the Raiders was the last team I saw him with.
Isn't that incredible? Yeah, so that's one.
That wouldn't have been a Darren, Donick, and Chase argument.
The University of Tennessee guy is in the 80s. He's the guy that's furthest back. He was first to do it.
Willie Gault?
Correct. Willie Gault in 1983 for the Bears.
Yeah,
six touchdowns in his first five games. The other is a rookie that absolutely lit it up that is probably the most obvious that you should get. 1998. Could have been a Titan.
Oh, Randy Moss.
Yes, Randy Moss. Yeah. And then a guy from Alabama for the Falcons, 2008.
Julio Jones.
Nope. Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait, in 2008?
You said 2008.
I got the wrong year on that. It's Calvin Ridley though.
Okay.
Let me look. Let me get that.
I was like 2008.
Well, I don't know why I wrote that down like that. Let me check the year.
2018.
That's what it is. 18.
Ridley just got here.
A misprint by me, but it was Ridley.
Huh.
So that's it. Chase Claypool is in some pretty fast company, but is he going to be a Martavis Bryant, or is he going to be a Moss or a Gault?
Well, there's
somewhere
really
in between. There's a lot. Yeah, I mean, he's off to a great start. But I guess this goes into the game plan. If you are Mike Vrabel in the defense, how do I go about it? Do I take my best defensive back, or do I take my coverage, and is it Smith-Schuster that has to be the number one guy you're trying to protect against? It's a little hard to defend them because they are spraying the ball around a lot.
Oh,
and how much respect
Johnson
do you give?
I mean, they've got weapons everywhere. You have to respect the run. You have to respect, you know, they love to throw the tight end. You know, don't forget Eric Ebron is there now in Pittsburgh.
Yep, he's been okay.
And he's mad because he had, you know, this was his bye week.
Messed up his birthday party.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Charlie Batch was not hesitant to say that they were ticked off about that. Like, we don't think it's really justified. This is what was going to happen. But I wonder if that stops the Titan or the Steelers from, like, using it as bulletin board material, as irrational as that might be for some people.
That's fine.
It took our bye week, man.
I would probably be frustrated, too. But I would also, in the next breath, remind myself, hey, it's 2020. It's a weird year.
Yeah, but you do what you need to do to motivate yourself, right?
Sure.
If that's what it takes to get the edge, I wouldn't be surprised
if you're
using
not
that, right.
If you're not, and Charlie Batch used this too, that Mike Tomlin calls it. It's a 5-star matchup. If you're not motivated for a 5-star matchup, then I don't really know how to help you.
He said Tomlin does that, right?
Tomlin said that, and I was cutting up some of because I did the 6 o'clock hour last night. I used a clip of Tomlin where he said it that it's a 5-star matchup. I like that. I think that's an interesting phrase. By the way, speaking of Dez Bryant, did you guys see this? That he's signing with the Ravens practice squad.
Jeez.
Good luck.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
If he passes his physical.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Wrong in the article, just to not to excuse myself, but in The Athletic, it did say 2008 for Calvin Ridley, who I think was in junior high at that time.
I was about to say, could he even drive?
Yeah.
It just so hit a zero instead
clearly,
of a one.
It's clearly a 2018.
Yeah. The other one is Isaiah Wilson. You know, like I said, that's the one we brought up briefly on Monday. Now, you know, he's listed, what was it, sick? I mean, what is going on with Isaiah Wilson? Like, this has been a disastrous start to his NFL career. I mean, a disaster. I can't even think of anything. Could it get any worse with everything he's already gone through? What, twice on COVID list, the whole party, and thought about jumping from a second-story balcony, DWI, can't get on the field. I mean, what is going on with Isaiah Wilson? Is it even realistic to think that he is in the plans anytime soon, considering they need him to be in the plans?
I don't see how he can be right now.
I wasn't expecting him to be anytime soon.
No, which is
I'm expecting nothing for, and if I get something this year, great.
Sure. But
I mean, I've already lowered my expectations to this point. I can't worry about getting him on the field if he's not ready.
Your left tackle's out for the year now.
Right.
I know. I'll do it as fast as I can, but I can't, if he can't get on the field, if he can't stay focused, whatever it is, all the issues, then you got to move on.
But that is an issue, though, because he's a first-round pick. Like last year with Jeffrey Simmons, you knew that the only way you were getting him was the fact that he was injured and you weren't going to have him. Anything you got out of Jeffrey Simmons last year was going to be gravy. You knew that. With Isaiah Wilson, when you drafted him, it wasn't that you were expecting him to be a day-one starter, but you were – everything Vrabel and Robinson were saying was he's here to compete. He's here to challenge. Been no challenge. He can't stay off the COVID list. Can't stay out of trouble. He was out of shape. Now apparently he's back in shape. But those are all things that you weren't signing up for. And so I understand that it's an issue, and it's one that you hope goes away sooner rather than later. But I can't imagine that he's going to be available anytime soon to help at least. And that's a problem. It's a first-round pick.
I just, it's one thing after another. It's just, and I don't know if they're just saying that or if he truly is. I mean, I don't know what's going on. But at some point, this guy has got to get his career going. Like, by the way, do we think that Lawan is going to be the last injury? The rest of the way, they have 11 games to go. I mean,
yeah.
Well, if he's sick, he's sick.
When's the next offensive line?
I don't know anything about I guess he's sick. And if he can't practice today, I mean, people get sick, I guess, right? Did he do anything wrong to get sick? Or are you saying they're covering up something?
I don't know one way or the other, but you know that stuff goes on. I'm not saying that it is, but that stuff happens in the league.
Right. He's not getting the benefit of the doubt, you're saying, in our minds. Wilson, that when they say he's sick, that it's just simply
right. I mean, with him, right? I mean, how could you?
I don't know, but I wasn't expecting him to be in there on Sunday. I'm looking more if I can get something in the second half from him, then I'll be pleasantly surprised.
Whew, that's not good.
I'm looking at him as a red shirt, honestly, and now I might have to take the red shirt off. Because of the situation with Lawan, if I can get him up to speed, that would be my approach for the Titans. He left school early. The day he was drafted, so many people were saying he could have been a top 10 pick the next year had he stayed in school. I remember Albert Haynesworth took a while. His first year, he left early. He didn't really hit it until the next year. And, of course, it was 4 or 5 years in before he reached his peak level. And he had a lot of learning and maturing he had to do. He was a unique personality. This Isaiah Wilson appears to be a pretty unique personality, and it could be a disaster if he keeps going in the direction he's going. if the light goes on, he's got some tools that very, very few people have. But I just think it's right now you got to deal with what you got. You've got a team at 5-0, and you cannot rush him out there if he's not ready, first round pick or not.
We'll come back. We'll hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, see what he's saying on this Thursday, getting ready for Sunday's big tilt at Nissan Stadium. We'll do that to close out hour number two of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, silly underdog picks coming up at high noon. Right now, though, I want to hear, and we want to hear, exactly what Mike Vrabel has said about this big game against Pittsburgh Sunday afternoon at noon at Nissan Stadium. And this press conference is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. So here's the head coach.
Mike, you've gotten guys back off of the reserve COVID list, and they went through all the protocols to return to play. But as they're working their way onto the practice field and into games, are you still with the training staff having to keep track of them to make sure that, you know, nothing else pops up from possibly their symptoms?
You know, it's just really a cardiovascular evaluation. You know, I think that they passed through those 3 days, and then, you know, we continue to evaluate them with Todd and Frank and then, you know, the medical staff. And so, you know, I think we've had a couple of days to get those guys. We can look at those guys here for a couple of days that have just come off the list.
Yeah, Coach, as far as the rules are concerned and the knowledge of them, do you have someone designated, like maybe Stretch or somebody like that, to kind of scour through that and know that inside out?
I think that we're all charged with that. I mean, Stretch is a huge part of what we do and what I do. So him and I, you know, I think probably lead that charge. I think Craig Aukerman, Ryan Crow, try to handle that on their end. And then, you know, the special teams, the situations that come up there and the rules that are presented there. So I think the more that we can understand them and teach the players about them, the better.
And you got to see Adoree Jackson back in action at practice yesterday. I know his response to that was something that you're monitoring. How did he respond to being back in action?
I think okay. You know, we'll see where he's at today again as we work through the week. But it was good to have him back out there. I think he felt okay. You know, we'll just continue to work through our plan, see where he fits in and how he feels, you know, after today.
Mike, I know every game and every team in the league is physical, but is there something next level about the Steelers and the way they play? And I know Arthur raved about Mike Hilton and his impact in games. Do you notice that as well?
Yeah, he jumps off the screen. I mean, they have a lot. You know, that's a guy that, you know, has you know, really earned a spot there, and, you know, plays extremely well, hard, great blitzer, versatile player. You know, they do. They play fast and aggressive, and they have, you know, a lot of confidence in what everybody's doing. And, you know, that's a great way to play the game.
Hey, Mike, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about Shane Bowen, you know, first-year play caller and so forth. You kind of went through the same experience, I guess, a few years back. What lessons do you see Shane learning as he goes along? And also, how much more – of a challenge, I guess, is it for him this year not having, you know, preseason, offseason, OTAs, et cetera?
I mean, I feel like that, you know, Shane's worked extremely hard. He's a good communicator. I think he has the staff in alignment, constant communication between me and T and Jim, Midge and Book and Matt, you know, so I think that's been good. I think that, you know, I try to evaluate as we go through that, you know, the times that we've had tempo or the times that there's been, you know, an urgency. You know, I feel like the calls are getting in, and our communication is good during the game. You know, I think we all just have to play better and coach better. You know, that's where we're at in trying to figure out, you know, ways to get off the field on third down and continue to fight to get stops in the red zone.
Sure. And on the other side of the line, I know Isaiah was out with illness yesterday. Is there any way to tell, you know, if that's going to be a significant setback for him, or are you expecting him back out there today?
We'll know here at 12 o'clock when we go out to practice.
Mike, seems like, at least from a statistical standpoint, and noticing more, Harold Landry seems to have been a lot more active and productive the last couple of weeks. What are you seeing out of him that tells you he's continuing to improve?
He takes the coaching and, you know, tries to do it the way that we coach it. And also he plays extremely hard. That's everybody's job is try to be on the same page and work together in unison with somebody that's next to you on the field, or communicate or have conversations and make sure that we're all on the same page in the meetings, and then translate it onto the field.
I know that there was talk of trying to limit his snaps, but that doesn't seem to have been the case through the first 5 or 6 weeks. You continue to expect him to get the lion's share of the snaps along with JD?
You know, every week could change, Terry. You know, but as of now, you know, we like, you know, when Harold's out there, and obviously he works extremely hard to stay in condition to be able to make that happen. And then, you know, as other guys come along, we'll see where they fit in.
Mike, you've been a play caller before in the league, and you've worked with a handful of them on both sides of the ball here in Tennessee. But what's it like, I guess, the process of a new play caller getting on the same page with their players and figuring out the best ways to take advantage of the personnel that you have?
You know, we've been through this. You know, the best call is the one that's decisive, that gets in, that the players have repped, you know, in practice, and then, you know, allow them the opportunity to go play. And, you know, that's the gist of it. You know, getting a call in that they know, and, you know, making sure that it's, you know, in the situation that you've practiced it and that you've worked on it, and that you go from there. You know, there's only one communication during the game. And that's with the linebacker. So it's a challenge to make sure that he's communicating and calling everybody else, and, you know, they're communicating it or looking over on the sidelines.
Hey, Mike, a little off topic, but I was wondering, since you guys have made a point of talking about the importance of registering to vote and voting and exercising your right, with the debates being in town tonight, will you watch, and why is that an important part of the process?
Well, I mean, I think that we certainly believe strongly in not only voter registration, but the education behind it. I think that that's one part of it is making sure that you're educated, and then obviously the participation. So not sure if I'll watch, but, you know, those have been the messages that we've tried to express to our players about the process of voting is making sure that we're registered, that we're educated on the topics that we feel strongly about. And then obviously the participation is going to be the big thing.
Have you watched any of the debates so far?
I tried to watch a little bit, I think the first one, but, you know, seemed like a lot of bickering to me. I didn't get much out of it.
In fact, they got a mute button now. Is that maybe try to keep things in line a little better?
Yeah, I don't, I think that I'm probably going to watch the Steelers tonight. It might help. We could talk about it tomorrow, Chris, and you could fill me in, and then, you know, you could let me know if the mute button worked, and then I'll let you know if we learned anything about the Steelers tonight.
Yeah, Mike, as you look kind of around the league and college football, really, that it has seemed that offenses have been ahead of defenses in general, and I wondered if you've thought the weird setup to this season impacted that and maybe made things more difficult for defenses this year.
You know, I would say that I think that holding is probably astronomically on a decline. I would say that just from watching the tape, but, you know, we have to go out there, and everybody that plays defense has a job to do. You know, you got to defend the receivers without fouling. You have to play tight coverage, and, you know, you got to get off blocks. You got to get off blocks. You got to run, tackle, and do all those things. So, you know, that's how we're trying to coach it. And, you know, certainly haven't seen many college games other than, you know, the ones that Tyler is playing in. And they seem to need to score some more points, but maybe he could do a better job.
Yeah, Coach, along the way, was there any particular stop where the light bulb really went on as far as trying to find different advantages within the game, whether it be a penalty or trick plays or anything like that?
You know, I think that that's something that's probably a premium in the National Football League. I think where the talent and the games are so close and historically close, you know, that's always been the just trying to find an edge anywhere you can. You know, our time at Ohio State, sometimes those games got a little skewed just based on talent. But just trying to do everything you can to help the players and to find an advantage, whether it be a play or situation that you can take advantage of.
Now, Mike, I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about kind of what you guys are doing with Trevor Siemian now in terms of keeping him apart from the group and sort of doing things on his own, and if that's the case for any other players besides Trevor.
I'm just trying to do what's best for the team, John. I think we, you know, went through a situation that kind of made us reevaluate what we felt like was best. And, you know, we'll just, you know, keep him at arm's length and keep him at Zoom, and in case that we would need him, you know, late in the week, and try to eliminate some of the contact tracing and things of that nature.
Anybody else besides him, or is Trevor the only?
Maybe some other guys that come up.
There you go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, and that was brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Quickly, before we get to silly underdog picks to start the third hour, anything stand out?
I can tell that he's still frustrated with the Isaiah Wilson situation. Anytime Isaiah Wilson's name comes up, it seems to be a very short answer, and I don't blame him. I can understand that he's tired of being asked about it because he's tired of the situation being what it is. But, you know, I probably
would like to say what he really wants to say, right?
Sure, sure. And I mean, you know, I don't blame him for that. I mean, I think his answer of we'll see what happens when we show up for practice, I mean, I think that's a true answer because he has no idea. It changes every day.
Yep.
Well, we'll have to watch the tweeters who are at practice to see if Big Isaiah is out there. They're about to hit the field 1 minute from now.
Set at noon. We will find out. We'll come back. Silly underdog picks to start the third hour. That's next.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here. And you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.